this morning in Genesis chapter 5, down in verse number 21. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, we're going to read down through verse number 24. I'd encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 21. And here the Bible says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." I want to preach a message this morning I've entitled, "Walking with God." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity now to gather in the name of our wonderful Savior. And Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your watch care over us. And Lord, just the privilege that's ours and the honor to be able to be here this morning to fellowship with your people. God, to sing praises to you. Lord, to give to you. Lord, to bring our requests and have them made known. And Lord, now to sit and be fed by the Word of God. And we pray, Father, that the Spirit of God would be our guide and teacher. That, Lord, the thoughts that you have given me and the direction you've given me in the message, that, Father, would be communicated clearly. And that, Father, your Spirit would be able to use what is said to help to challenge us in our lives in the days in which we live. We do pray, God, for those that are not able to be with us this morning, for Roy and Dixie and others. Father, I ask you to take care of them and raise them back up. Bless our time around your Word this morning. May your Spirit do his office work in each and every heart. And we would pray especially, should there be one today within our midst that has never personally received Jesus Christ as their Savior, never made a commitment to Him in their heart and life, that, Father, today would be the day they would take that step of faith and, Lord, make that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 5 is known as the chapter of death. Now, I hate to start our morning with such a uplifting thought, but in Genesis chapter 5, all we find is, "And he lived and he died." Notice beginning in verse number 3, it says, "And Adam lived." And I've, in my Bible, circled the words "Adam lived." And then at the end of verse 5, it says, "And he died." And I circle those. Not that I'm a negative person, but that is the message of Genesis chapter 5. Adam lived. It tells us a few things about his life in verse 3 and 4, how long he lived and son that he had. But at the conclusion of the matter, at the end of verse 5, it simply says, as a summary of Adam's life, "And he died." Then in verse number 6, it introduces us to the son that was born to Adam. It says, "And Seth lived." And after reading some information about him, we get to the end of verse 8. And it says the last three words, "And he died." Then in verse 9, it tells us about Seth's son Enos. And it says Enos lived 90 years. And so Enos lived. And the end of verse 11, we see a pattern forming here. The end of verse 11 says, "And he died." Then we get to Canaan in verse number 12, who was the son of Enos. And Canaan lived, it tells us in verse 12. And at the end of verse 14, after telling us a few things about his life, it says, "And he died." And then in verse 15, it's Mahalalel. Mahalalel's the son of Canaan. And Mahalalel lived in verse 15. At the end of verse 17, "And he died." I'm not trying to be redundant, but I'm just trying to show you that in Genesis chapter 5, all we have is a history that every man that's born dies. In verse number 18, we read about Jared, the son of Mahalalel. And it says that Jared lived. And the end of verse number 20, "And he died." Then we skip down to verse number 25. Methuselah lived. And boy, did he ever. Methuselah was the longest living human being, 969 years old. Wow. Methuselah lived, it says in verse 25, at the end of verse 27, "And he died." Then verse 28, Lamech, who is the father of Noah, the son of Methuselah. Lamech lived in verse 28, at the end of verse 31, "And he died." So in this chronology of living and dying, that's what life consists of. The years between birth and death. And it tells us about these different people. I think you think Methuselah lived 969 years and yet his life could be encapsulated in three little verses. "For what is your life? It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, it's appointed unto man once to die. And again, I don't want to be the downcast person here this morning, but the fact of the matter is that for every person that's born, one person dies. Those are the unbeatable statistics. And Genesis chapter 5 gives us that account. And he lived and he died. And he lived and he died. And he lived and he died. And yet in the verses we read this morning, verse 21 to verse number 24, we find a very unusual thing happening. In all of this, in the midst of all this dying, something very unusual stands out. Because we're introduced in verse 21, it says, and Enoch lived. But then when we get to the end of verse 24, we're missing those last three words. It never says, and he died. In fact, if you're familiar with your Bible and even Bible prophecy, Enoch is going to be the only person that was ever born that will never die. And so we read about Enoch in verse 21 down to verse number 24, and we see him as someone that stands out because there's something different about him. Verse 24 said, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Something happened to Enoch that he didn't go the natural progression of men. I must say he didn't go the natural regression of men. Because he did not age and age and age and die. When he was 65 years old, it tells us in verse number 23, he had a son named Methuselah, and something happened at that point in Enoch's life. And for the next 300 years, the Bible tells us, he walked with God to the point that he was not, for God took him. Keep your place there if you would, and look over at the New Testament in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see what the writer of Hebrews says about this removal of Enoch from the world. He did not die. He simply walked with God and was not. He disappeared. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, in verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 says this, by faith, Hebrews 11:5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was translated that he should not see death. Now we would say in our common vernacular for the word translate, we'd say he was transported. He was walking with God down here on this earth, and we've kind of illustrated it this way, that as he walked with the Lord one day down here on earth and he got tired and decided to go home, the Lord just simply said, Enoch, why don't you come home with me today instead of going back to your home? And God took him right to heaven. He translated him. He transported him from earth to heaven. Now the word transport is not right. Translated is right because he was changed. All right? A change took place. That's what a translation is, changing. A change took place in him as he left this world and went straight to be with God in heaven without ever dying. In the midst of all the death of Genesis chapter 5, this one man stands out in the midst of it as a man who walked with God. Now let me say this morning, prophetically, Enoch is a picture of the believer who will never die. In the midst of death, there is a possibility, there is hopefully an opportunity that you and I will never die. We think of these three we mentioned this morning. They're in very dire straits and near death's doorstep. You know, it is possible that even they might never die. You say, preacher, wait a minute. Hospice is being called. Death is just hours away, if not days away. There's no way. But there's something that could happen in the midst of all the dying that they could go straight into the presence of the Lord without facing death. They could be translated. They could be changed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the thing that would cause that would be the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Lord could come back at any moment, at any time, even right this day, even right now, even right this minute. He could come back. You say, well, preacher, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. Yes, and there have been scoffers who have said, where is the promise of His coming? But we have this guarantee in Scripture. The Lord is coming back with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Enoch is a type of that believer who can walk with God and be caught up without ever facing death. It's a wonder prophetical illustration, because if you know what happens right after Enoch is caught up in chapter 5, in chapter 6, God looks down upon the wickedness of man in Noah's day and says, that's it, I'm fed up, I've had enough of this. And he wipes the whole world out by a flood, except for 8 people that he lifts up inside of that ark. And that's a picture of that tribulation period that's coming, where God will pour out his wrath in Revelation 6 through 19 upon the world of unbelievers, and yet rescue those that have claimed the name of Christ. But before that happens, the believers have been taken away and caught out. So prophetically, we see what is going on here with Enoch. But I don't want us to look at the prophetical this morning. I want us to look at the practical. I want us to see that Enoch in his time, twice it tells us there in Genesis chapter 5, that Enoch walked with God. Look in verse 22. And Enoch walked with God. And then again in verse 24 of Genesis 5, and Enoch walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? How do you walk with God? Also, who can walk with God? And then lastly, is it possible in these days that we live in right now, in our modern society, with its violence and its wickedness and its sinful disposition, is it really possible that anybody in our day could walk with God? That's what I want us to look at this morning. Enoch walked with God. Now I have to share with you one of my favorite stories. And it's a true story, but it's not really related to this, and yet it is. If you're a baseball fan, you'll understand this. Earl Weaver was the manager of the Baltimore Orioles for many, many years. And he was, I'm sorry to say, I don't mean to kick dirt on anybody's grave, but he was an ornery old cuss. All right, that's the only way you can describe Earl Weaver. And those that knew him would describe it. I'm not saying anything they wouldn't say. He had a reputation in baseball for coming out and arguing with the umpires, kicking dirt all over them, spitting on the ground, cussing them. He was just an ornery old cuss. He had on his team a couple of men who were born-again Christians, very dedicated men, very godly men. And one day, after he'd just gone through one of his tirades out there on the field, he came back into the dugout, and one of those Christian players said to him, they said, "Earl, I'd like to see you walk with God." And Earl, without it, as the whole dugout got quiet and hush, what's going to happen now? Earl turned to that man and he said, "I'd like to see you walk with the bases loaded." Now, I know that has nothing to do with the message, but I can't help about when I think about this walking with God, that story pops back into my mind. And we understand walking with the bases loaded more than we understand walking with God. So let's look this morning and see exactly what we're talking about when we think about Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. First of all, we're going to ask the question, what does it mean to walk with God? And let's go to a Bible answer, because that's always the best way, the answer to get. Again, keep your place in Genesis 5 if you would, and see if you can find the book of Amos. All right? The book of Amos. If you go in the Old Testament, past the middle Psalms, then the big prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Then you get to the smaller prophets, Hosea, Joel, and Amos. All right, so if you find Ezekiel, that's a big one. Hosea, Joel, then Amos. Look at Amos chapter 3, if you would. Daniel, I think I forgot about him. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. Look, if you would, at Amos chapter 3. What does it mean to walk with God? Now, there are so many different definitions and so many different things that we could say and even will say. But I believe we can boil it down to this. In Amos chapter 3, look if you would at verse number 3. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. What does it mean to walk with God? Well, Amos said in Amos 3:3, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" Can two walk together unless they be... You know what it meant when it says that Enoch walked with God? It meant that they were in agreement. They could walk together. There was no disruption. There was no disagreement. They were friends. They could walk together. Now, a couple of our ladies, I understand, have founded the Bysville, what's it called, Brother Gary? The Bysville Trotters Association. The Bysville Walkers Association. And there's a couple of our ladies that meet together in mornings and they go for a walk together. You know why they can do that? Because they get along with each other. They're in agreement one with another. They plan that out. They purpose to do it. They meet together. They go and they walk together and enjoy that walking together and enjoy one another's company. And I've never been alongside with them, but I'm guessing, and I don't want to get myself in trouble here, but I'm guessing that two women walking for that distance are not walking in complete silence. But they're having an enjoyable conversation one with the other. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Walking with God is not some complicated formula. It's not some list of do's and don'ts, some code or some rules. It's simply walking in fellowship with the other person. Enoch walked with God, the Bible tells us. It's that simple. We walk with God just as we would walk with a friend. I want you to look at another passage. This is in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Let's get a picture of what it means to walk with God. Actually, knowing that Jesus Christ is God in a human body, there are some folks that did walk with God. In Matthew chapter 24, after the crucifixion and after the resurrection. Did I say Matthew? It's Luke. Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, following the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there were two men, it tells us, in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 13. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13, and behold, two of the disciples, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. All right, these two men were walking, or some believe it was a man and his wife. The Bible doesn't tell us who it was. But these two people were walking together on the road, and as they were walking, they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together. All right, here's what's walking. Walking with someone else simply means this. You're talking about the things that you have common interest in. You're communing one with another, and they reasoned. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, we'll not read the rest of the account, but these two disciples, as they were walking and fellowshipping with one another and talking about the things of God and talking about the things that they had common interest in, while they were walking, the Lord Jesus Christ walked up with them, God in the flesh, and walked along with them for a distance of that road. They had the privilege, they had the blessing, they had the opportunity of walking with God. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't exclusive. These two that were walking together were able to walk with God simply because they were walking in agreement. So what does it mean to walk with God? It means to be in agreement with Him. Second of all, how do you walk with God? Now that we know what it is, simply to walk in fellowship and in communion, now the question is, how do we walk with God? Well, let me say this. If we're going to walk with God, we have to purpose to walk with Him. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not something that just happens naturally. It's something you have to plan on. If you're one of those, like our ladies in the Bysville Walkers Association, if you're one of those that walks for exercise, then it only happens because you plan to do it. Those of you that do not work for exercise, and this is not a promotion of walking for exercise, but those of you that do not, you know why you do not? Because you don't plan to do it. You don't care to do it, so you don't plan to do it, therefore you don't do it. Now again, this is not the discussion over whether or not to do that, but simply pointing out the application that when it comes to walking with God, it's the same thing. We don't walk with God because we don't care to walk with God. And we don't plan to walk with God. And therefore, if we don't plan to, we won't do it. So how do we walk with God? We purpose. You'll notice in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 22, I mentioned already that the Bible says that when Enoch was 65 years old, Methuselah was born, his son. Methuselah was born when he was 65 years old, and for the next 300 years, his walking with God was not just an on-again, off-again experience. It was not like he walked with God for a little while and then he kind of got away from it and then got back. For 300 years, Enoch walked with God. That only happens when you purpose to do it. When you make your plans to go out there and do it. Again, this is not a promotion of walking for exercise, but it's a promotion of walking with God. That we make a daily plan to walk with Him throughout the day. That means throughout our day, we're going to be in communication with Him. Throughout our day, we're going to be in communion with Him. Now, it means some other things, and we'll get to that. But number one, we purpose to walk with God. Second of all, how do you walk with God? By pleasing God. I would encourage you to look back, if you would, again at Hebrews chapter 11. I know we've been there once already. We looked at the first part of the verse. I want you to see the last part of that verse. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, the Bible says this, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found." Can you imagine? Enoch is 365 years old, not 365 days. 365 years old. He's got sons and daughters, the Bible tells us, back in Genesis chapter 5. And one day as he was walking with God, you imagine two people walking down the street together. And then God, as we said, just says to Enoch, "Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Why don't you just come home with me?" And Enoch went home with God. He was translated, taken up to heaven. Imagine what happened back here on earth. It says he was not found. They must have looked for him. They must have sent out a search party. I don't think they had their pictures on milk cartons or anything like that back then. But there was a concentrated effort to find Enoch, and he was not, for God had translated him. Why did he do that? Well, because in verse 5 it says, before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Again, it's not difficult, it's not complicated. How do we walk with God? Well, we purpose to do it. How do we walk with Him? We please Him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, we'll not turn there, but 1 John 3, 22 says that we are to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So to walk with God, all we've got to do during the day is cast aside those things that are not pleasing and implement those things that are pleasing. And as we do that, we can walk with God. The same thing is true if we're walking for exercise or walking with someone else, walking along the way. As long as we're in agreement, we walk together and everything's fine. But if there's something contrary between the two, if a disagreement comes and they split ways and goes different directions, Enoch walked with God for 300 years because he did those things that were pleasing in God's sight. If there ever was a disagreement between Enoch and God, and I can't imagine Enoch being human just like you and I, that there wasn't a time that there was a disagreement between the two of them. The Bible tells me by this indication that Enoch submitted himself to God. That as he was walking with God and the Lord said, "Enoch, you're wrong on this. Here's the way it really is." Well, if Enoch was contrary, he would have split up his walk with God. But he walked consistently for that many years, which means he was in agreement with God, with everything that God said. Do you always agree with the way God works in your life? Do you always understand why God does this or does that or doesn't do this or doesn't do that? Well, when we get contrary with God over those things, when we criticize those things we don't understand, then we're no longer walking with God. But when we please Him by our attitude and our actions, now we're doing what it takes to walk with God. How do we walk with God? We purpose to walk with Him. We please Him. You know what the hymn says? When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His sweet will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. That's exactly what it is. When we walk with the Lord and we do His sweet will, that's what it is to walk with God. So we purpose to walk with Him, we please Him, and then thirdly, on how to walk with God, and this is the hard part, we purge ourselves. If we're going to walk with God, we've got to purge ourselves. Say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, do you understand that Enoch was not the first person to walk with God? He had a miraculous ending to his walk because he walked it consistently. But there were some before him that walked with God, but something interrupted that walk, and they had to pay the price for it. Look back, if you would, just a couple pages. You know the story in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8. Is that where I want? That's not. Genesis 3 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8. Adam and Eve have succumbed to the serpent's temptation. They've taken of the forbidden fruit. They've eaten it. And now they're hiding from God. In chapter 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says this, Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This is something that Adam and Eve had done with God since they had been created. They met God every morning in the garden in the cool of the day, and they walked with Him and they talked with Him. They met with God. But on this morning, after they had sinned, God came down to walk with them in the garden, and they knew He was there, and they heard His voice. But the Bible tells us in verse 8, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Something happened that day that had never happened before. Now, the Bible does not give us the time frame between the creation of Adam and the creating of Eve and the fall in the garden. We don't know the distance between that sixth day of creation when they were made, when Adam was made, and when the serpent came into town. Whether it was days, months, years, we can argue that or debate that. We don't know the time frame. But we know this, that in that time frame, whatever the distance was in that time, or whatever the period of time, they walked with God every morning in the cool of the garden. And they walked with Him and they talked with Him until the day they took of the forbidden fruit. And the next morning when God showed up to walk with them, they didn't make it. They weren't there. What had changed? Nothing on God's side. Nothing in His personality. Nothing had changed from Him. But Adam and Eve were now hiding themselves because of their sin. In fact, verse number 9 says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I've said this before, God did not ask Adam where he was because he didn't know. God asked Adam where he was so that Adam would realize he's not where he'd always been before. Every other time God had come down to walk in the garden, Adam had been right there waiting for him, anticipating it, purposing to walk with God, looking forward to it. But this day, it didn't happen. You say, what can break our fellowship with God? What can interfere with our walk with God? The answer is sin. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We can't communicate with God. We can't fellowship with God when we're not in agreement with God. Now, can we wind the clock back again? Enoch walked with God for 300 years. I know what the Bible says about human nature and humanity and our sin nature, and I know this. Enoch was not sinlessly perfect for 300 years. So he still made mistakes. He still did things in which he disagreed with God or disrupted the fellowship with God. But the fact that he continued that walk for 300 years tells me that whenever he got it wrong, he got it right. Whenever there was a disagreement, as we said already, between Enoch and God, Enoch recognized he was the one at fault. He admitted to God, and he continued that fellowship with Him. Two people can be walking down the street together, having sweet communion and sweet fellowship and agreement, and everything's going fine, and then some topic comes up. Maybe they mention someone to whom one of the people really likes and the other one's not too favored about. And that name pops up between the two, and all of a sudden there's a little bit of tension that rises. What do? They clean it out right away. I'm sorry, let's not talk about that person. Let's not bring that up. Let's not bring this up. Let's just go on without that. That's how you restore that, and don't carry that over. So the same thing is true with us and God. God, I'm sorry about that thing. Please don't hold that against me. I want to continue my fellowship with You. We have to purge ourselves from sin. But not only separating from sin, sometimes, folks, We've got to separate from other folks. Now, I'm always careful on this because we have friends that are unsaved and lost friends, and we need to maintain those friendships to try to reach them with the gospel of Christ. I don't believe we need to isolate ourselves completely from all the folks that are out there and just, you know, live in our little capsule and not invite. But at the same time, we have to understand that if we're busy walking with them, it makes it much more difficult to walk with God. When we're walking, let's say, with the sinners, it's more difficult to walk with the Savior. I'll give you Psalm chapter 1. We don't have to turn there, but Psalm chapter 1 verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." So if we're going to walk with God, there's some folks we can't walk with. Back in Enoch's day, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment, but back in Enoch's day, there was some folks that Enoch just could not get along with. He couldn't walk with if he wanted to walk with God. There were some friends he probably had to distance himself from because their conversation would not have been pleasing to God, and so he can't walk with God if he's walking with them. It might have been some co-workers, which makes it very difficult because you've got to be alongside them all day long. But sometimes the conversation isn't going to be pleasing with God, and if we participate in that, we can't be walking with Him. Sometimes it's family members. Sometimes it's those that are close to us. And yet the manner of their living, the way of their conversation, the things about them are just so contrary to walking with God that we can't. Enoch, you understand, Enoch probably had to face a lot of mocking, a lot of ridicule, a lot of accusations maybe of being holier than thou because he simply desired to be able to walk with God. So sometimes we have to separate from those that are not walking with God in order that we can walk with God. So the question is simply this: how do we walk with God? By purposing to walk with Him, by pleasing Him, and by purging ourselves from those things that would prohibit our walk with God. Now the third question that I proposed at the beginning was simply this: who can walk with God? I mean, you and I are going to look at Enoch and say about Enoch, well, he was Enoch. I'm no Enoch. Can I tell you this, that Enoch is not the only one in the Bible that walked with God? In fact, look back at Genesis chapter 5 where we read about Enoch, and just go one more chapter into chapter 6 and look at verse number 9. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9. In Genesis 6, 9, he said, "These are the generations of Noah." All right, after those 9 that we mentioned in Genesis chapter 5, along comes Noah. Noah, it says in verse 9, was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. See, this is what wasn't something exclusive to Enoch. Now, he was a prophetical picture, as we talked about already, of something that's going to happen in the future. But he was an individual person that walked with God, and he wasn't alone. Enoch, well, the Bible tells us in an indirect way that Abraham walked with God. The Lord before whom I've walked all these years. David walked with God. Turn, if you would, to the book of Micah. Here again, just like Amos, here's a hard one to find. Go all the way back to the page between the Old Testament and New Testament. And then back up a few pages and you'll find it. I tell you that as I'm still looking for it, all right? Just back up a little bit and you'll get there. If you go past Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, turn back a few, you'll get Micah. Look, if you would, at Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Who can walk with God? Is it just for the elite? Is it just for the Enochs and the Abrahams and the Davids and the Noahs? No, God wants all of us to walk with Him. It's His desire to have fellowship with us. It's His desire for us to walk together in agreement. In Micah chapter 6, look if you would at verse number 8. A wonderful verse. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And the Bible says this: "He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy." Notice thirdly, "and to walk humbly with thy God." God's desire is for every one of His children to walk in fellowship with Him. God's desire is for all of His children to walk in agreement with Him. And yet we understand that He is the Heavenly Father. We are the children. We submit to His direction. We submit to His will. We submit to His likings. And we keep that communion with Him. But He says for all of us that He wants us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. It is not an activity reserved for just a few. It's something God desires with each and every one of us. Now the thing that stops us from walking with God, if God desires for all of us, you look at the congregation here, God desires for every single one of us, regardless of age, regardless of circumstances, regardless of anything else, He wants each one of us individually to walk with Him. If we're not, it's not because He's not doing His part, but because we haven't purposed to walk with God. We aren't pleasing God in everything we do. We aren't purging ourselves. God wants to walk with us. Who can walk with God? Everyone. And then lastly, all right, preacher, that's Enoch. That's 4,500 years ago. 45,000 years ago. 4,500. I'll get the number right in a minute. That's 4,500 years ago. Noah, just about the same time. Abraham and David. Abraham, about the same time. David, maybe a little bit sooner, but still 3,500 years ago. It was much easier to walk with God back there. Things weren't as bad as they are now. But can a person really walk with God today? Can we walk with God in the midst of the society and the world that we're living in? The ungodliness, the profanity, the immorality, the pornography, everything that's out there. Is it possible for us to, God wants to walk with us today? Is it really possible? I'd take your attention back, if you would, where we started in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And verse 21 says, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Can I tell you this? Enoch had responsibilities. He was a husband. He was a father. He had at least Methuselah and then other sons, plural, and daughters. And if we go by the custom of that day, probably many. So he had responsibilities. He had things he had to do. He had obligations. And yet it did not prevent him from walking with God. What a wonderful testimony it can be to the younger generations to see their older generations walking with God. Though Enoch skipped Lamech, and we don't read much about Lamech now. There's a lot more in there than meets the eye. Lamech died the year that the flood happened. Lamech was 777 years old the year the flood came. But it skipped. But Enoch, not knowing what effect he might have had on Lamech, but at least on his grandson Noah. Because Enoch walked with God, Noah walked with God. The effect he had on the younger generation. The example he set. In the midst of responsibilities and obligations and the world he lived in, he walked with God and it was noticed by others. But notice in Genesis 6, the times in which Enoch lived. Now he's caught out in Genesis chapter 5. But there's not a lot of time between 5 and 6. So what we read about in chapter 6 is already going on in chapter 5. What's going on in chapter 6, I mean by this. Look down at verse number 5 in Genesis 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can I tell you that when Enoch walked with God, it was not an easy day? It was not easy times. We want to think it's never been as bad as it is today, but I've got news for you. Genesis chapter 6 portrays a period of time that's yet to come on this earth. It's going to get worse even down here. And Enoch walked with God during that kind of a period of time thousands of years ago. We seem to relegate those past days. Well, what kind of trouble could they have? No television, no telephones, no cell phones, no, you know, internet, none of that. Well, every man, in every generation, man has developed his own form of sin. And man has never been without the technology, maybe not to the degree we have it or what the way we have, but man's always been able to come up with it. And the days that Enoch lived, the Bible said that God saw the wickedness of man and that every imagination of the thought was only evil continually. I'm not sure we've gotten there yet. I'm not sure we've gotten our society. We're heading there. It won't be too much longer, but I'm not sure we're there yet. And yet at that very point in time in history, Enoch walked with God. Look there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. We live in violent times. We mentioned in Sunday school, in our lesson on the Sermon on the Mount, some things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. The shooting in Las Vegas. The man renting the Home Depot truck and running over and killing 8 people in New York City. The man walking into a Walmart with a shotgun and blowing away 3 complete strangers. And we're befuddled by that. We look at that and it doesn't make any sense. It's just, what's going on? Can I tell you this? According to Scripture, it's going to get worse. And there have been days in the past where it was worse than it is right now in our day. I know we don't want to imagine that. We don't want to think about how it could be worse for our children and our grandchildren. And yet in the midst of all that, what I want to tell you, in the midst of all that, Enoch walked with God. Look here in verse 11, verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Preacher, can we walk with God in the days we live in right now? Well, if Enoch could walk with God then, we can walk with God now. The invitation of God is that He wants to walk with us and talk with us. He wants to have that fellowship and that communion today. The rest of this day, you can walk with God. How do you do that? Well, you simply do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You purpose to walk with God. You purge yourself from those things that you know God would not agree with so that you couldn't walk with Him. And from that point on, we begin each and every day to walk afresh and anew with God. It's God's desire for you and I to walk with Him. Yes, we can walk with God. But first, we need to make sure we know Him as our Savior. If we've not received the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart and into our life, we can't walk with a stranger. And that stranger won't walk with us. He walks with his children. He communes with those that belong to him. And until we make that commitment of putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we're enemies in our minds by wicked works. We can't walk with God because our hearts are contrary to him. Our nature is contrary. We're always thinking of other things, things that God might not approve of, that God might not be okay with. We've got to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then, once we know Him, then we can begin to walk with God. Say, how do I walk with Him, preacher? Well, you walk every time you open the pages of that Bible and read it. Because every time you open that book, you're communing with God. God, you're allowing God to speak to you. Every time you bow your head and pray, now you're communicating with God because you're answering Him. It's a wonderful two-way street where God speaks to us through His Word and we speak back to Him through prayer. And with that open communication, we can walk with God. Now the problem is if we're not in the Scriptures and we're not in the habit of praying, then we cannot walk with God because two can't walk together unless they be agreed. We come to church. We have the fellowship of believers. We make friendships outside of church with those that also, like us, want to walk with God. And in that process, we walk with Him. Now, I can't guarantee you this morning that if you walk with God, you'll not die. Because I don't know the time of the rapture. I don't know when it's coming. I remember one lady years ago told me that she was diagnosed with cancer and she knew her days were short. And she said the one thing she wanted above all things was to be able to go home in the rapture. She didn't want to go to heaven by way of death. She knew she was going to heaven, but she didn't want to go by way of death. She didn't want to go by, how'd she say it? I don't want to go through the undertaker. I want to go through the upper taker. And unfortunately, she didn't get to do that. And I can't guarantee you and I that we will do that. I don't know when the Lord's coming is. I hope it's soon. I hope it's in our lifetime. But even if it's not, we can walk with God. We can please Him. We can do those things that glorify. We can walk together in agreement with the Lord. Do you have a desire this morning to walk with God? You understand it's going to take a commitment, because there's some things we'll have to dedicate ourselves to. There's some things we'll have to separate ourselves from. There's some things, and they're not necessarily sinful things, but things that occupy our time, things that occupy all of this, that are not honoring to God. We can't fellowship with God when we're doing those, fellowshipping with these other things. We'll have to make some sacrifices, but do we have a desire to walk with God? Enoch walked with God. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.